We're doing Rav Chalapan Shavuot, Ma'amar Lametet LeKabbalat HaTorah. So Rav Chalap says, we notice there are two ways in which Hashem runs the world. One is called Teva, nature, the other is called Nes. What is Nes and what is Teva? So many have delineated the Ramban, many have discussed what the difference between Nes and Teva is. But what we want to define, says Rav Chalap, is that Teva is the system, and Nes is the choice. When a person is connected to his body and his soul, so the body is the consistent. You know how you see, you hear. There's a system within the body. The physical part of the human being has a recurring system every day. We know how we have to eat, we have to digest. There's a system to the body. But the soul is the choice. The soul is constantly making choices. The body doesn't choose to have a heartbeat. It goes. There's a system. The soul is the choice. And the soul is the crown and glory of man. And that's the same way in all of creation. There's the body in the world. That's what we call nature. That's where Hashem created a world with the system. And then there's the nes, which is, so to speak, Hashem's choice. The body, the system that we live in the world is the system Hashem created for the world, that's Teva. And Nes is, so to speak, Hashem's choice, where from the perspective of Teva, you want to light a lamp, you better have oil there. Vinegar is not going to light. But when Hashem says, as Rabbi Hanina ben Dosa tells his wife, if Hashem told oil to burn, he can also tell vinegar to burn, that's Hashem telling the vinegar to burn. That's Hashem's choice, it's not the system. So it would seem that these two are of equal weight. And we would think that man should have complete control over the system, but it's not within man's control. And we see that man doesn't have an aspiration to fight the system. What man wants to control, he wants to be free of the system. Let me fly. Let me override the system. Man sees he can't, so he stops. I don't know if you guys ever did this, but as a kid, I would try to push a car. I would try to lift a car. I was always curious to see, can I lift a car? We see that deep down inside, we do have this desire to overcome the system, to overcome nature. Man has always been perplexed, can I fly? So why is it that within man there's this great desire to overcome the system he lives in? Must be that there is some element within man, the potential to achieve it. So then we have to ask, then why does the system seem to control man if we have the potential to overcome it? So the truth is, it works like this. Man can control everything. Really, man can overcome every system. You can have a splitting of the sea. You could have the sun stop by Yeshua. But when can a man overcome the system of nature? When he himself has overcome his own system of nature. When man overcomes his connection to the material world, when man becomes the more spiritual man is, so Moshe Rabbeinu can live 40 days and 40 nights without eating. That's because he's totally separate from his own physical connection to the world. That's the idea that Chazal tell us, Tzadik Moshel Yirat Elokim. Hashem says, the Talmud says in Tractate Moed Katan, the Tzadik says, I'm going to do what he says. Even though I created a world with a system. But if he says the river should split, Ginai should split, so then Ginai the river splits. But you can't be within the system and then say, I'm fighting the system. You could only say, I want to be above the system when you yourself are above the system. When a person is himself above the physical world, then he can say, I want the physical world to work in accordance with my desire, which is the desire of Hashem, with his spirituality. But if a person is himself, he's not so spiritual. And then he says, but I want to override the physical world I'm living in. But you're a part of it. You're connected to it. And that's why a person repeatedly finds himself frustrated trying to find the system, and it destroys him. You can't fight the system. When can you fight the system? When you first conquered the system within yourself. When a person has himself elevated himself above the physical world, then he could also work with the physical world in an elevated way. That's true in the system of the world we live in. But there are broader concepts than the world we live in. We live in a world that works with that system. But there are greater worlds, and they also have their system. A system means there are limits. And everywhere you look, there are limits. If there are limits, there's a system. If there is a system, there are limits. If our choice can't override those limits, so then there's a limit to our free choice. So then who comes first? The limits or our free choice? Is our free choice limitless? So once Hashem created a world, Hashem created limits for our free choice as well. We live within this world. And even though Hashem gave us free choice, it's within boundaries. It's not that our choice can...
Separate boundaries than nature? I'm confused what he's saying.
He's saying on the one end, we said that when a person attains a level of spirituality, he can override the system of this world. But he's still limited by this world. There's a greater system, call it that, where he's still limited.
Okay.
So he says, is my free choice limitless, or am I always going to be limited? I might be beyond the limits of the nature of the system of the world I'm in, but I'm still within the confines of a broader system.
Okay.
I'll say it in the harshest term, okay? I cannot be God. I can be godly. I can't be God, right? I'm limited.
I mean, like Moshe Rabbeinu, theoretically could jump off the Empire State Building and fly the level he was, but because he was in this world, it wouldn't work. But when he got to Shemayim for those 40 days, he was able to not eat and drink because he was not in this world limited.
I don't think so. I think that even in this world, Rav Harlap is saying that you could be an Avraham Avinu who's thrown into the furnace and not get burnt.
I've always learned that as Hashem performed the mess for him.
Fine.
But
the Gemara says that Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon would slice his stomach, take out fat, put it in the sun, and it wouldn't rot. I'm saying there were people who were...
So he problems with that story.
Yeah, but no, once you believe in one miracle, anything is theoretically possible.
But again, the idea is, or Hasidim like to tell the story of the Rebbe who on Motzei Shabbos would always stick his hand into the fire of Avdallah. And so long as he didn't feel the fire, that was a sign that he hadn't sinned the whole week. That he would never feel... Okay, it's a Hasidish story. But I'm saying the idea is, again, the idea of Rav Harlap is that when a person attains a level of spirituality, a person can be at a place where he overrides. But he's saying you're still limited to something.
That's
his point. That you can override the system of this world.
Was that the story with Moshe and the angel of death? The midrash that the angel of death tried to kill him, and then Moshe kept on hitting him.
I don't know about hitting, but how do you want to connect that to this?
Eventually. God had to intervene.
Oh, okay, but you see at the end God did intervene.
Yeah.
And then Moshe did die.
Yeah.
Okay. Ari, are we okay?
I'm
okay.
Thank you.
So Hashem creates a system, and that doesn't contradict Hashem's free will, but Hashem wanted to reveal to us a world where we are limited to a system. That system allows us to live, to function, to see His kingship, and we can connect to Him. So, within the system, we can function. If you dropped a cup and you didn't know if it would drop or not, you would have a very hard problem living in this world. If there was nothing, if there weren't a system, we would have a problem. The system allows us to see that there's an organizer, that there's a creator. And that's the Chazon Ish, right? Nemunah u'bitachon. You look at the system, you can see someone created the world. So the system doesn't contradict Hashem's free will, even though it's limiting to us. And so within the system, Hashem created a concept that the tzaddik's will can change things in the world. Who's the tzaddik of the Ribbono Shel Olam? The people of Israel. Hashem says, you're supposed to be my tzaddikim. So all of creation has, so to speak, this idea that there's going to be a tzaddik. This is a Hasidic concept, right? The tzaddik. And within the system, Hashem says, I want the system to have this function that a tzaddik can affect the system beyond its limitations, beyond the system of nature.
So affects the system of nature by being beyond the system of nature?
Yeah. So if we want to take an example, Chizkiyo is ill, and the prophet tells him, take a fig, which ordinarily make your boil worse. The boil has become infected, and Chizkiyo is on the verge of dying, and he tells him, take a fig, and that fig would ordinarily make your condition worse. Put it on the boil, and you'll be cured. It happens, and he's cured. Within the system Hashem created, Hashem wanted the tzaddik to be able to supersede the system. So that's part of the system, so to speak.
To supersede the system with the aim of controlling part of the system.
Right. He's above the system, and that's part of the plan of creation. Man still, with all that explanation, still senses a contradiction between his free will and the system he lives in the world. The only time man can start connecting to the concept we just said is when man can connect to a concept that we learned earlier in Rav Chalap, the concept of Hitchadshut. Meaning part of our difficulty in the system is that we feel like this minute is a continuation of the previous minute, which is a continuation of the one before that. And so the system seems to be overriding and overpowering. When I could look at this moment as a moment of creation, and the last moment was a moment of creation, and I could see the Ribono Shel Olam, and now, HaMechadesh B'Tuvo B'Chol Yom Tamid Ma'aseh V'Reishit, Hashem made the sunrise today. So at one point, you walk outside and there's a great breeze, and you say, wow! You walk into the room and there's air conditioning and you say, that's amazing. You walk into the room and you say, every time I walk into the room there's air conditioning. That's not amazing. Every morning I wake up and there's the sun outside. That's not amazing. The more I can see in every moment creation, the more I can connect to the concept that there's free will, even though there's a system. If the system is the overpowering, ever-existing constant in life, so then where's my free will? There's so many powers out there. I hear the concept of free will, but I don't understand it, and I don't connect it, and I still sense a contradiction. And we live our lives with that repeated contradiction. Do I have free will, or is there a system? And we say conceptually, yes, of course I'm supposed to have free will, but realistically we have a hard time connecting it. The only time we can really connect to it is when we start seeing the system as a constant creation. Not as a constant, but as a constant creation.
What is the difference in seeing it as a constant to a constant creation?
A constant means, if again I'm going to say it in its harshest terms, there's God and there's the system.
Okay.
Two separate things.
And
that's how we feel. That's how we sense the world.
Renews the world every day.
There we're saying it's Hashem renewing it, but when we live life, our natural connection to the world is to feel like, of course it's here.
Today we weren't awed by the AC, but we saw the sun come up.
How's that different from the other way of seeing it?
If I see every second as Hashem's creation, the more I can connect to that concept, so Hashem created the system. It's true, there was gravity yesterday and there's gravity now. But gravity now is also a creation of Hashem. Then I can start seeing my free will within that.
Why if babies I see things for the first time, or 1 3-year-old, and
yeah,
the newness, they're not bored with it. They don't take it for granted.
Yeah, it's yeah.
A dead bird the first time the kid sees something dead.
Well, he says the only way you can see the world that way is when you connect to Hashem, because the truth is that part of our difficulty in connecting to the concept is that on some level we say, explain it to me on my terms. I want to understand it. Oh, we can conceptualize. We don't really understand it. And when a person keeps saying, put it in my terms, what he keeps saying is, give it a system again. Our mind wraps around systems. So we're saying, Ribbono Shel Olam, I want to understand how you're beyond the system and I could be beyond the system, but explain it to me within my system. So I want to understand how something is not in a system, but the only way I can understand it is by putting it into a system. So if I connect to the Ribbono Shel Olam, then I could connect to things greater than me. But if I don't, so then what I'm saying is keep bringing it down to my level, to my understanding, and then we find ourselves frustrated again, but I don't understand. It doesn't fit into any system. I can't seem to make it work. He's saying a beautiful concept here. The contradiction, he's saying you want to understand free will. But free will is the idea that I'm not bound by the system. And understanding is put it into a system for me. That's where, but if you connect to the Ribbono Shel Olam, if you connect to the Ribbono Shel Olam who's not in a system, he's not in a box, the more you connect to the Ribbono Shel Olam, the more you can connect to the concept and feel comfortable with the concept that there's free will in a world that seems to be governed by systems.
Because there's the elements of knowledge that he is the controller of that system that we're subject to.
Okay, you can say that. You can say that. And that is the uniqueness of the Torah. Hashem yiten chokhmah, the pasuk says in Mishlei. Wisdom is a gift from Hashem. But I could learn wisdom. No, you could learn systems. You could learn from the ground up, like the Ran explains in Drashot Aran. You can start analyzing, experimenting, and work your way up to define systems. But if you want wisdom that is not systems, that's Torah. You connect to Torah, you start understanding what is the great pleasures that Hashem makes available to man on earth. A person starts sensing there's a renewal, there's a constant renewal in creation. And even though I see systems, those systems are a repetition of that renewal, but it's still a renewal. And that's what it says in the Song of Songs, Yishakeni min shikot piyu. I want God to kiss me on the lips, Kitovim dodecha miyayin, because the love, the connection with Hashem is better than any wine. That's the idea. Give me clarity. When Hashem gave us the Torah, it begins with Kol asher diber Hashem na'aseh v'nishma. We're going to do whatever Hashem says. So there's a general acceptance that we're going to do what Hashem wants. And that general acceptance stems from Ki Yaakov bachar lo ka. Hashem chose Yisrael iskulato. We're supposed to be different. Then comes the understanding that Hashem's holding a mountain over us. Meaning, we begin with Bchira Chofshit. We begin with our ability to overcome systems. Am Yisrael says, I make a choice, and my choice is to connect to Torah. But through that Bechira, they come to the understanding that the system is a system that Hashem created in the world. When a person pulls away from Torah, what he's really doing is he's saying, I want to connect to the physical. Torah is pulling me up to spiritual. When he pulls away from Torah, he's saying, I'm going to leave the spiritual, connect to the physical. Again, our definition that Rav Harlap began with is, Bchira Chofshit equals spirituality equals Torah. Free will, when I'm running after my desires like an animal, that's not free will. I am taking the ability to do what's right, and I'm saying, let me do what I want. In other words, let me work with the system. I'm human. I have desires. What am I saying? I'm physical. What am I saying? There's a system. What am I saying? Let me behave like animals in a system. Right? The animal doesn't think twice. The animal runs after what it wants. What it wants to devour, it devours. When it wants to mate, it mates. When it wants to sleep, it sleeps. It does what it wants. You never see an animal putting its hand on its mouth because it's yawning, right? You see animals yawning? They don't put their hands on their mouth. Hand on the mouth is I physically have to yawn. I understand it might not be pleasant to the world to see my gaping mouth. I'm covering my mouth. The hand is my physical choice. The yawn, the hand is my bchira. The yawn is my physical body yawning. Okay? When a person has a choice between am I doing the Torah, am I not doing the Torah, his choice, and this is a recurring theme and we've seen all the time in Maimarom, his choice is am I going to have free will? Free will is my choice to do what's right, my choice to be spiritual, my choice to connect Torah.
So you're choosing
to renege on
it. As a derech chayim kaze, and then within right. Choosing that, that derech chayim of free will, then you have free will, which is right or wrong. Once you choose the system of free will, you're saying that...
But I'll give you an example of it. A person walks into a candy store. I was Yom Yerushalayim, heading home, and I hadn't eaten lunch. It was already supper time. So I'm on my way, and you guys know the city was a mess. Okay, you couldn't get anywhere. It took me 2 hours. A ride that ordinarily takes 45 minutes took me 2 hours just to get back to the central bus station. So I'm on my way, and I see a candy store. So I said, let me buy something to hold me over till I get home. I don't know what traffic's waiting for me on the next leg of the journey. I'm about to buy something at the store, and I say, let me check the heksher. But I've always bought this, and it always had a heksher. And I turn it over, and it doesn't have a heksher. So I said, unbelievable. The same company, the same wrapping, the same everything. I might not have looked. I just happened to look. And I looked, and I see there's no heksher. So I turned over again, and I turned over again. I said, must be missing something. I take the next one off the shelf. Same thing, no heksher. So I bought it just to give it to the chief rabbinate to tell them, you guys have to do something about it. You can't have candies being sold at the central bus station around the corner from you, that this same candy you could buy in this store, with Hesher, that store, without Hesher. I didn't even know. It's usually imported from the United States. It's kosher. Here it was imported from Egypt. And if I wouldn't have looked at the fine print in the back, I wouldn't have known that the same thing was not kosher. Or at least not with Hesher. I don't know if it's kosher or not. I have no idea. Do we have free will or don't we have free will? So what does a person say when he says, I want to eat the candy? His first thought is, leave me alone. I want to eat the candy. Those words, leave me alone. What am I saying when I say, leave me alone?
You're saying that your like consciousness to do the right thing, even if it goes against what you want.
I'm telling Jiminy Cricket, right? Stop being my conscience. Or, in Jewish terms, I have a soul, and I tell the soul, leave me alone. I'm hungry. The body is telling the soul, leave me alone. I don't want that free will right now. I'm an animal. I'm hungry. Hashem created me with needs, with urges, with desires. I'm hungry. Leave me alone is another way of saying, I know I have a soul, but leave me alone. I'm a body now. Right? Says Rav Chalap, when Am Yisrael says, Naseh Nishma, so Am Yisrael is connecting to the concept, we have free will, we have a soul, and we want to connect to more free will. We want to connect to Hashem's Torah. And every mitzvah is again the we're veering ourselves to the direction of the soul. We're veering ourselves to a general beauty of a world. We're moving ourselves in the world to a wholeness. Okay, we're really out of time. He's still going to develop the idea of why hold a mountain over their head. Holding the mountain over the head, in a nutshell, was telling them, in the physical world, you know when you see a snake, you run. You should know that to your souls, it is just as natural to run in the way of the Torah. Holding the mountain over their head was telling them, you should know you could die if you don't go in the way of the Torah. You think you're having a free choice. You should know there's also a system to that free choice. It's in your interest. Just like you know... What?
Big hesed.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Why is that? I didn't get like that attention.
Because it was telling them, right, it's what you really want to do.
Yeah, I've always had a hard time with that. Like the guy doesn't want to give his wife a divorce, so they kind of rough him up a bit until he agrees.
So I'll tell you a story. I had a 2 or 3 year old son whose fever spiked, and he started flapping like a fish.
Like a
you know what? Yeah, he started having a seizure. So he has over 105 fever. That's over 41 Celsius. And he loses consciousness. And he regains consciousness 3 seconds later. And they tell us in the hospital, you have to, before you come here, before you call an ambulance, you have to put Akamol into him. You have to put a fever reducer right now. Right now. And the kid is wailing and fighting me for everything he's worth. Now, what am I supposed to do? If I force his mouth open and I force a fever reducer down his throat, did I do him a favor? He hates me that moment. He's fighting me for all he's worth. And the hospital told me, you better put that in him. You have no idea where he is right now. What am I supposed to do? Am I doing him a favor when I fight him and I hold him like the cruelest father on the planet and I hold him real tight and I force his mouth open and I take the syringe and I slowly put it down and he gurgles and he tries to spit it out and I force it down and then I force down a little bit more and maybe I saved his life? Did I do him a favor or didn't I do him a favor? The only reason we don't see mitzvot that way is we don't connect to the concept that the mitzvah is saving my life. So we work with a concept that our soul does recognize it. But leave me alone. We're constantly with this battle, and sometimes we lose the battle. It's like, I don't know if you've ever had the experience, but I've been at Smachot where they serve dessert. And opposite me on the table sat an elderly woman who had diabetes and was in risk of losing her leg. And the woman says to me, "Can you please take the chocolates away from me?" Why is she telling me to take the chocolates away from her? Because she's saying, "I want them. And my evil inclination, I'm going to eat them. And I shouldn't eat them because who knows what's going to happen to me if I eat them. Please take them away from me." I've had this happen more than once.
The emphasis not walking in certain neighborhoods and people will suffer in just certain ways. We don't have the ability to fall.
The real me says, "I don't want that." But I know that the physical me might just take the chocolate, might do what it shouldn't do. So help me. So we view every Jew as being good. We view every person as having a soul who wants what's right. And sometimes they get confused. It's like the kid who's fighting, "Don't give me the Akamal." Deep down inside, if he wants it. The woman who says, "Take away the chocolates from me." She knows she wants it, and she knows that right now the wrong part of her is going to make the decision. So she says, "Help me." So this person might not know to say, "Hit me," so that he gives his wife a divorce. But we're saying deep down inside that's what he wants. Tough. So we started seeing the concept of Matan Torah, the idea that Matan Torah helps us. We begin with our Bchira Chofshit, and that Bchira Chofshit is the recognition that the world we see is a system Hashem created, but our choice to go with Torah is our choice to connect to spirituality. And when we take a step away, we're actually destroying the world. We're actually we have a choice to connect to life, and we have a choice to pull away from that. And that's what Torah and Mitzvot is. And when we connect to Mitzvot through that choice of Naseh Nishma, we came to recognition that we're building a world, we're making the world a beautiful place. And then when Hashem puts the mountain over us, He's revealing to us the idea that just as in the physical world we know to run away from harm, from a snake, so too there's that necessity in all of life to distance ourselves from that which the Torah prohibits. And that the idea of you could die there, that could be your burial place, the mountain can be your burial place, is the idea that Torah is being given to you not only because it's your choice, it's also because it's your life. And the choice to pull away from that is death. And that's what Hashem says, "I'm holding the mountain over your head, I'm telling you, don't think you have two choices. Don't think you could live two lives." Now this is a very deep concept, because part of our free will is that we deceive ourselves. I met a good friend of mine yesterday. I was standing at a bus stop and a taxi stops in front of me. And I see the guy has a new sign, Mahadran Taxi. I said, "What is this?" So he says, "We banded together. We pulled away from the taxi companies. They were charging us a very high rate to work for them. And we created our own taxi company called Mahadran. And we're a bunch of taxi drivers. And so the rates are more normal for us." So I said, "How's it going?" He said, "Tough." I said, "Why tough?" He said, "Because to run a business in accordance with halacha is tough. Leading an observant lifestyle is tough. And we're all observant people." I said to him, "I know it's tough, but I think you'll agree with me that the alternative is tougher." So he said, "I agree." We lead our lives, and sometimes we look at the way of the Torah and we say, it's tough. And we deceive ourselves and we think there's an alternative. And the alternative would be easier. And in certain ways, the alternative would be sweeter. And holding the mountain over our head was helping us enter Matan Torah with the realization, you don't have an alternative that's better. One of the difficulties we have is that we keep deceiving ourselves into thinking, I have an easier choice, I have a more comfortable choice, I have a better choice. and holding the mountain over our head was to help us understand you don't have a better choice. I created the world. I'm telling you what's good for you. Higid lecha adam matov. Hashem says, I'm telling you what's good for you. I'm giving you Torah, and I want you to know that your alternative is not life. That was the holding the mountain over the head. Oh, wait, we're just in the beginning. You chose a long topic in Rav Chalak.